Hey guys, you know James Hoffa, his middle name is Riddle.
I did not know that.
I don't think any of us did, but it's a bit weird, right? Jimmy to his friends. Jimmy Hoffa is one of the most well-known historical figures in these United States. And on July 30th, 1975, he disappeared.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Lots been said about Mr. Hoffa. A lot of allegations have come out about people around Jimmy Hoffa. It's a murky story, let's say, and lots has been made about his life and his disappearance in movies such as Hoffa. And, it was contemporary to, I guess, 2019 when we originally made this episode, The Irishman.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about The Irishman. I'm still baffled about the depth of investigation and the lack of official results in this one. Someone conspired for this guy to disappear. And in tonight's classic episode, spoiler, folks, we hope you enjoy it, but we also hope you contact us directly if you happen to know what happened to Jimmy.
Please do. Please do. Listen along and then write to us.
Spring is in bloom and so are casino thrills at BetMGM Casino. Play your favorite games like blackjack and roulette with a live dealer. Or check out our exclusive slots like MGM Grand Millions and The Wizard of Oz Over the Rainbow. Only available at BetMGM Casino. Spin on spectacular slot favorites like Cash Eruption, 88 Fortunes, Mystery of the Lamp, Breakin' Bacon, Cash Machine, Flintstones, and Squid Game from anywhere. Whether you're taking a walk or waiting for your train to come, you can enjoy the thrills of BetMGM Casino right from the palm of your hand. Download the BetMGM Casino app today and get a piece of the action. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for full terms. Games may vary by state. 21 years of age or older to wager. Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The countdown is on for the 2025 NFL Draft presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds 3 days live from Green Bay, April 24th through the 26th. Watch every pick live with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. Also streaming on NFL Plus and on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes. It all starts Thursday, April 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Subscription required for NFL Plus. Lowe's, we help you save. Lowe's, official partner of the 2025 NFL Draft.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Nolan.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccan. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. From the offset, it is important for us to collectively establish that this episode is not an advertisement for The Irishman, the newest Scorsese film that just dropped on Netflix to no small amount of acclaim and a little bit of controversy. Al Pacino plays one of the, I don't know, maybe secondary is a good word, a secondary character in the film. He plays a character named Jimmy Hoffa, which is based on the real life Jimmy Hoffa. Now, Noel, you and I had talked about this film a little bit off air when we saw it, and Paul, you watched it, so you brought it up to us. Without spoiling the film for anyone, it's based on a book, right, by this guy named Charles Brandt.
Right, it's called, what is it, I Heard You Paint Houses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I Heard You Paint Houses, which is a fantastic title. This book purports to be nonfiction. It includes interviews and alleged confessions made to the author, Charles Brandt, by a former mafia hitman named Frank Sheeran. Like Ed Sheeran.
An Irishman.
Yes. And this this film inspired our own super producer, Paul Deccan, to say, hey, guys, have we ever delved into the story of Jimmy Hoffa? And I don't know. I assumed that we had. We had not. That changes today. So here are the facts.
Yeah, let's talk about Jimmy Hoffa. Who is this guy? Well, he was born James Riddle. Well, he went by Jimmy Hoffa, and he was born on Valentine's Day. That's February 14th, 1913, in a place called Brazil, Indiana.
I did not know there was a Brazil, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I'd never heard of that place either, assuming the climate is a bit different in that Brazil. He was aware of, let's say, the American labor force, the American laborer, the person who was using their hands to create something generally for somebody else. His father was a coal miner, and he passed away when Hoffa was very, very young, or Jimmy was young. And his mom had to end up joining the workforce to support her family, which was a fairly common occurrence, as, you know, the heads of households would die off, whether it was through war, conflict, or a workforce accident or something like that. He had three siblings, so four children, including Jimmy, and eventually they moved to a place called Detroit, Michigan.
Which at the time was a hotbed of industry and growing. You know, this is still before the enormous boom of the American auto industry, but still, it's very much an industrious place. It's a great place to get a job. And we don't know how much formal education Jimmy Hoffa was able to achieve. You know, you'll hear historians say they don't know whether he reached high school, much less graduated. But we know that eventually, while he was in school, he had to drop out. He had to help support his family. So he worked on the loading dock for a chain of grocery stores there in Detroit. And while working there, imagine how young this guy is. While working there, he organizes his very first labor strike, and it all hinges on shipments of strawberries.
Yeah, and he actually was pretty demonstrating some pretty serious street smart to this point already, because he used a recent shipment of strawberries as leverage to help get his coworkers better deal, better contracts for their labor. They refused to unload the strawberries until they had secured better pay. And in the 30s,
well, I just have to say right there with the strawberries, like, that's a smart thing. Because strawberries go bad pretty quickly. And if you don't unload the strawberries, he's like, he was gumming up the works for everybody, basically, by doing that. And it's interesting how it set a timer, like very clear timer on when you're going to lose all your money on these strawberries. And you're also losing money because that truck is now stuck there. It was just really smart
stuff.
Wouldn't
have worked with canned peas.
Honestly, it wouldn't, because those canned peas, I don't know.
Yeah, hard to say if that was just like a serendipitous thing or if he very much, you know, was being calculated about that. But it was absolutely a smart move, and he got what he wanted. And then in the 1930s, Hoffa officially joined the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, which is what he went on to become the president of, at least the union's Detroit chapter. So he kind of laid the groundwork for a career in labor, and it would seem it came by honestly, based on his, you know, trajectory and his upbringing.
At that point, yeah. And we should also stop too, for anyone who doesn't know, doubtlessly we have several Teamsters in the audience today, but a lot of people in this country and abroad don't really know what a Teamster is. The Teamster, the old word etymologically, is like someone who drives a team of horses. Right now, according to their website, teamster.org, the Teamsters are America's largest, most diverse union. They started in 1903 as the merger of two team driver associations, TEAM, by the way, not teen, in case my enunciation is off. And today, you may be most familiar with them as truck drivers, right? Because we've replaced, to a great degree, we've replaced animal labor with mechanical labor. So at this time, he is, as you said, Noel, joined up with the Teamsters. He starts as the president of the Detroit chapter. For many less ambitious people, that would be the version of making it. You know what I mean? I'm king of the town. And the thing is that Hoffa is not a guy satisfied with being a big fish in a small town. Make no mistake, he is a shark. He expands union membership. He quickly garners a reputation for getting better contract agreements by any means necessary. Cough, cough, corruption, cough, cough, mafia, cough, cough.
Threats. cough?
Right, but he started out honest, right? Yeah. That's a very important thing. By 1952, he's vice president of the entire union, so not just Detroit, but the entire International Brotherhood of Teamsters. And just 5 years after that, 1957, he is the president of the entire organization.
Well, it's one of these things where, especially in the way he's portrayed in film, like it's been a long time since I've seen the Jack Nicholson film that I believe Danny DeVito directed. It's called Hoffa. But at least in The Irishman, you do get the sense that he felt as though he were still representing the common man and doing something positive, even though he was clearly heading up what was not a strictly legal enterprise. He seemed like he maybe could convince himself that it was all for the greater good. Mm-hmm. It was all for getting his fellow brothers a better deal, like with the strawberries. But in order to do that, you know, we're swimming with sharks here. We got to play nice with the sharks.
Or you got to be a bigger shark.
A bigger shark, exactly, because it's all about an us versus them mentality, and in this case, us did include some pretty nefarious characters. Hoffa was to be the subject of numerous criminal investigations, and it was a shadow that kind of relentlessly followed him throughout his career. And this is portrayed really, really well in the Scorsese film. Wasn't entirely surprising. His direct predecessor, Dave Beck, had also been investigated, and he was ultimately tried and convicted of corrupt practices within the union.
Dave Beck, which was convicted, which gave Hoffa the opportunity to ascend to this position. Yet Hoffa persevered. 1964 was a big year for him in a number of ways, not all of them fantastic. His big win was that he got nearly all of the truck drivers in the entire continent of North America under a single contract. Uncle Sam had been keeping an eye on Jimmy, and they thought there was something rotten in the Teamsters, something fishy about his rise to fame and his success. Now, at this point, he is very, very similar to a well-known politician, or maybe even to some degree a celebrity, right? The FBI and then U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy are watching Hoffa very closely. They are convinced that a lot of his union success is less a result of being a shrewd negotiator and more a result of a close collaboration with organized crime, also known as the mob or the mafia, right? So What else happened in 1964?
Well, Hoffa himself was found guilty of a couple of things. Bribery, for one. Also, jury tampering. Ah, jury tampering.
The good old JT.
When something goes wrong and somebody knows it, you gotta tamper a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like, and that can be really, that can be really terrible, or just going like, here's $100. Don't yeah. talk about me.
Or it could, yeah, or it could be something to the level of, you know, memory's a funny thing, Mr. Smith. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you think you remember, so you look back and you realize you don't remember it too good. After all, you know, it could have been anybody there. But, you know, one thing you never forget is your children's smile. And yeah. it's wonderful to be able to see that every day instead of just looking back and remembering it and wishing you could say hello to them.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You've done this before, haven't you?
Yeah, that was really good.
That's just the science of memory.
I was going to say just like casually mentioning his or her daughter's birthday, but like that's like oh, that yeah. was on the money.
Well, that's cinematic. I'm sure it was much more subtle.
Yes, but that stuff, that's when he was found guilty of both of those things in connection with a previous trial that he had gone through in 1962, 2 years prior.
Yeah, he was on trial for conspiracy, which I love that people could be convicted of conspiracy. And then he was found guilty in 64 for charges related to, as you said, Matt, conspiracy. So that was one bad thing that happened to him that year.
Yeah, he's also convicted of misusing funds from the union's pension plan.
And that's a big note in the film mm-hmm. that Scorsese did, and also a note, I believe, in the book, I Heard You Paint Houses, because the union's pension fund was an enormous amount of money, and he pretty much had direct control over it, so he could make the money dance to the tunes he chose.
And a lot of those tunes were mafia-backed projects like in Las Vegas, for right. example, yeah. Paying for wings to be constructed on, you know, casinos. And as we know, a lot of that money came directly from the mob to start, you know, Las Vegas in the first place. So there were those relationships that were ongoing and directly tied to dipping into that money, which would then be invested and get a return. And it's not like he was stealing money from the pensioners, people who were due that money, but it was still playing fast and loose with the rules, you know?
Wait, you're telling me that organized crime organizations launder money through things like labor unions?
Mm-hmm. It's true, Matt.
Yeah, money laundering, but it's got a great return. I'm just going to say, if everything goes well, there's a great return for that stuff. Yeah, money laundering was a big part of it. Also, at what point do – this may be a story for a different day, but at what point do campaign donations – become illegal, right? At what point are yeah. they interfering with the democratic process?
Well, I mean, all you got to do is make them unlimited, and then you're good to go. That should fix all those problems, right?
Well, I think it's safe for the five of us, Paul, Noel, Matt, myself, and you listening, to agree that Jimmy Hoffa probably did not deal with these philosophical quandaries in the same way.
Yeah.
It's just cost of doing business.
So after 3 years fighting these charges that his lawyer and you know, again, as depicted in the Scorsese film, it was a union lawyer who was also very aware of what was going on, mm-hmm. made the argument that this was all trumped up. He had exhausted his appeals finally, and he got 13 years in prison. And in 1967, he was incarcerated in the Lewisburg Federal Prison in Pennsylvania. And then came along a like-minded individual who ascended to the presidency, a little guy by the name of Richard Nixon, who commuted Hoffa's sentence in 71, essentially giving him a pardon, a presidential pardon, with a year and a half of probation. However, this came with a string attached. Nixon banned Hoffa from holding any union leadership position, at least until 1980. So a bit of a slap on the wrist.
It's a weird one, too, because it's a string with a time limit. Yeah. He's not saying, stay out of the game, you dirty rat. He's saying, just sit on the bench until the 80s. Let's let the heat die down a little bit.
Well, and it's so odd to me that Nixon, the president, came through and said, you know what, it's okay.
Is it odd?
You're good. You're good, man. You're going to be okay. It's only been a couple of years. You got 13. You'll be all right.
Well, Hoffa donated heavily.
Oh, I know.
The campaign, too.
But just to be able to get a president to do that, no matter how much money you're donating to them, because in the end, it's, you know, the public appearance of something like that. But here's the deal. Jimmy Hoffa and a lot of labor union leaders out there are like hugely beloved, no matter what they're doing, mm-hmm. no matter what they've been convicted of, will, you know, over the course of time in history, will be beloved because there is this perception, at least from the outside. And you know, like we said, Jimmy Hoffa thought that he was doing the right thing, or at least appeared to believe he was doing
at
the right
thing. At least at the beginning, the ideology outweighed the ego.
That exactly. That ideology, it ripples out through the public of people who are assisted in that way.
And this isn't one-to-one, and some might accuse me of being hyperbolic here, but it's almost the way you hear about the way folks in Medellin treated Pablo Escobar. You know, very clearly, bad guy, doing bad things, hurting people, probably directly hurting individuals in that community, but there's this perception that he's the best chance they've got, or he's actually looking out for the little people, you know, and he cares in some way, and they call him Saint Pablo and all that stuff, even though completely transparent that this guy is no good.
Well, and Hoffa wasn't some mob boss.
No, exactly. Right? I don't want to, like, draw one-to-one, so, like, but similar.
Exactly. But there's intentions to look out for the labor class or the working class.
Yeah. So we can imagine, you know, I think that is a good comparison. We can imagine supporters of Escobar and supporters of Hoffa, not that they're the same in the same line of business, but we can imagine the supporters saying, hey, this guy is the reason that we have a paycheck. This is the reason that my family can live comfortably or better than they would have otherwise. So we have to remember also that with his enormous power, Jimmy Hoffa could move the vote. He could sway hundreds of thousands of people to vote for or against a given candidate. And for the next few years, Hoffa wages something very like a war. He's fighting that ban on leadership in court. He doesn't want to wait till 1980. And he's also working behind the scenes with mixed success to reconsolidate his power base within the union. And then, of course, as even a casual student of history will recall, things don't work out the way Hoffa planned. Or did they? We're going to rejoin him on July 30th, 1975, after a word from our sponsor.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The countdown is on for the 2025 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Green Bay, April 24th through 26th. Watch every pick live with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. Also streaming on NFL Plus and on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes. It all starts Thursday, April 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Subscription required for NFL Plus.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sonesta Travel Pass is the most rewarding way to travel. Sign up at Sonesta.com for instant savings, bonus points, and perks like early check-in and late checkout, room upgrades, and free stays. Choose from 1,100 hotels across 13 brands and unlock their best rates when you book with Sonesta Travel Pass. Here today, roam tomorrow. Join now at Sonesta.com. That's Sonesta.com. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back, July 30th, 1975. Hoffa is in a state of what the streets call deep beef. He has numerous enemies. He hasn't made a ton of friends, and he's alienated many of the friends he had. But he wants to make peace, and he realizes he might have to eat some crow, he might have to swallow his pride, he might have to make some inroads with people he swore he would never work with again. So he leaves his home in Detroit, and he meets the two Tonys, Anthony Tony Jack and Anthony Tony Pro. Tony Jack is a figure in the Detroit crime scene. Tony Pro is a mob-affiliated union leader who's based in New Jersey. So they're supposed to meet at this restaurant in Bloomfield Township.
Is that the Maccas Red Fox?
I believe so, yeah.
Something like that. I don't know how to say it correctly.
They're going to squash the beef. They're going to settle their feud. At least that's what Hoffa thinks.
So Hoffa shows up, or we believe. At least his car shows up. And he appears to be the only one there. You know, he's there. He's going to meet two people, but Hoffa's the only guy there, and he's wondering what's going on.
We assume,
because really, we have no idea. We have no evidence, at least, that is concrete as to what occurred after he showed up at that restaurant, or at least when his car showed up, because his car was there, but he was never seen again by anyone. Except for the people responsible for what happened to him or himself responsible for whatever happened to him.
That's right.
It's a mystery. It's one of the most long-standing mysteries that has existed in this country.
One of America's most prominent, divisive, important public figures had simply Kaiser Soseyed. He had disappeared. Mm-hmm. And we're almost a half a century into the post-Hoffa era. So what happened to Jimmy Hoffa? Here's where it gets crazy. The answer really depends on who you ask. There's no shortage of theories that have popped up over the intervening decades. And the most popular suspects being the mob, of course. But in some cases, and this surprised me, U.S. federal agencies.
Interesting, right?
Did you guys hear about that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one.
For sure. I mean, it makes sense considering that he was such a persona non grata, like for, you know, Kennedy and the U.S. government. I mean, they were after him. Mm-hmm. And he more or less shook the rap and then was able to kind of get back into the game.
Well, we'll get into it a little bit further, mm-hmm. but there's also the idea that a federal agency was involved, but not in disappearing him by killing him or anything, but by putting him into a protection of some sort.
Right. Yeah. So at this point in the if we take the high level look at it, at this point in the world of conspiracy and speculation, the fate of Jimmy Hoffa has kind of entered urban legend status, which means that the theories start to obey some of the tropes we would associate with folk tales or oral tradition. The general consensus now is that the mob conspired to kill Hoffa because they wanted to stop him from becoming the king of the Teamsters again. And that's because while he was locked up, even though he wasn't locked up for the full 13-year sentence, while he was locked up, his former vice president got pretty cozy with the mob, even more so than Hoffa was, and he was much more willing to play some games. When Jimmy Hoffa got out, the wise guys, the mafioso, knew that he would try to rein them in a little bit, and they wouldn't be able to play all the reindeer games that they had become so accustomed to. Make no mistake, they were probably making more money under that vice president. What was his name, Matt?
That was Frank Fitzsimmons, Frank Edward, I believe, Fitzsimmons.
Ooh. Frankie Fitz.
Yeah. So they were probably making more money under Frankie Fitz. Who on earth would say no to continuing to enhance their profits, they weren't keen to mess with that relationship. So the idea then is that the mob killed him or disappeared him. And we see a lot of common tropes, just like in other forms of folklore. There are tons of variations on this theory. It's kind of like a bar joke or something, you know, where it's like X walks into a bar. They follow the same gist. A mob hit and then some sort of industrial process to destroy or hide Hoffa's body. There are a ton of examples.
Yes, there are indeed. One of them is that Hoffa was killed, placed in the trunk of a car, then the car was crushed in a mob-affiliated scrapyard. That'd be a pretty clever way to go about it. Wouldn't that leave a lot of physical evidence, though? Like, I don't know. You gotta wonder, would it, like, seep out of the cubed car, like the remains or anything like that? I wonder what that would look like.
Yeah, I imagine so. It would have to definitely be a tightly controlled scrapyard. Scrapyards can be really big, but this was also in the days before DNA testing.
That's true.
It wouldn't fly today.
No, certainly not as much, especially if it was a known kind of mob-tied facility or whatever. Another one is that he was hit in the head with a shovel and buried alive. Where are these coming from? Jeez.
Dramatic. I like it, but that one doesn't make the most sense.
Do you have any provenance for the origin of that one?
Yeah, that one comes to us from the Great Rumor Mill. That one doesn't have a lot of sand to it. A lot of these examples that we find came out later after, because of course this happened before DNA, it also happened before internet, right? So a lot of these come about from statements by former mafia associated individuals, usually when they are attempting to seem as though they have leverage so that they can get some juice with the feds, maybe get a better deal up to and including relocation and immunity.
That makes sense. And that also makes sense for some of the ones to follow, which seem to be kind of variations on a theme, right? Hoffa was murdered and his remains were placed in an oil drum. Hoffa, in one container or another, was thrown into the Great Lakes or was abducted by the feds and thrown from an airplane.
It's a waterproof plan, foolproof. That's... I just think about that. When has anybody said, you know, the best way to get rid of this prominent figure is to take them on an airplane and then in full view of anyone who happens to be, you know, looking up, let's throw them from the plane.
Right.
So that one comes from the Fed one specifically, comes from a guy named Joseph Franco. I have no idea whether he's related to the actor. He was an old one-time associate of Hoffa's, and Franco said that he'd kept the story to himself for years because he wanted to use the info as leverage in negotiating an immunity deal if he were caught for other unrelated crimes. Spoiler alert, it did not work out for Franco.
No, it did not.
There's one that Paul's a particular fan of as well. The idea that Hoffa became this sort of grisly hidden landmark for a sports team.
Oh, yeah. The idea is that Hoffa was dispatched, shot, maybe, whatever it was. Then he was, his limbs were taken apart. He was dismembered, then frozen, and then, get this, guys, buried inside the cement foundation of Giant Stadium. Now, this was then located in Rutherford, New Jersey, and East Rutherford, New Jersey.
And what's interesting about this, just to interject, is that there's a nice mythic tie-in here because in some ancient civilizations and cultures, it's thought when you were building a place of great import, you were required to make a blood sacrifice of some sort.
Putting cats in there.
Right. Now, this doesn't work with that kind of left-hand path stuff because the idea is that he wasn't killed on the site. If you really want the magic to hit, it's got to happen, you know, live and direct on the place where you plan to lay the stones.
Wow. Yeah. I can't remember the movie that I just watched that talked all about that, but it had the actor who plays the Queen of Dragons. She was in it, and it was like a haunting horror movie on Netflix. Anyway,
I'll check it out.
It's out there. they mention burying a cat, like an alive cat, in the walls.
Ugh, jerks.
Yeah, gross. Well, anyway, in this case, it was in Giant Stadium. And this is pretty crazy because it originates from an interview that a guy named Donald Frankos gave in 1989 to Playboy magazine.
Which I want to say at the time was doing great journalism, actually.
And still, Playboy's soldiers on.
I'm not as familiar with modern Playboy nowadays.
I mean, there's the old joke that you just read it for the articles, but apparently, like, for a while, it was absolutely a place where a lot of short stories writers broke their work and kind of went on to great things.
My favorite Shel Silverstein poem was published in Playboy, and I stole a copy as a kid so I could read the poem. Isn't that weird?
That is quite weird.
Yeah.
It's a good book. It's about the devil. It's a whole thing.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah. That one's kind of filthy.
Yes, it is. It's not for all ages.
I remember that one. Yeah. That's a good one. What's the name of the – oh, gosh. The Devil and Billy Markham.
That's the one. Yeah.
And in that article in Playboy, he claimed that Hoffa was killed by a New York Irish mafia boss by the name of Jimmy Coonan and buried at the home field of the New York Giants and New York Jets football teams. So according to Franco's, after Coonan shot Hoffa with a Silence 22 caliber pistol in a house in Mount Clemens, Michigan, he and New York mafia hitman John Sullivan bagged up the body parts and stored them in a freezer for months.
See, that's weird because you would think you would want to get rid of the body as soon as you can because every time anybody else who knows about the freezer, even if they don't know there's a body in it, could be an avenue of exposure. But okay, so they've got him in this freezer for months. Apparently nobody opens the freezer in this part of town. What do they do after those months have passed?
Well, you find a stadium that is under construction, a giant concrete monstrosity, and you find a place where concrete is being poured, and you place it surreptitiously underneath there, right? That's the whole idea. So for real, though, Giant Stadium was under construction, and it was going to open up the next year, or it was planned to at least. The bags were then mixed into the concrete foundation in what became a certain section. So if you went to Giant Stadium and you looked at section 107, down there deep, that's where Jimmy Hoffa laid, at least according to this theory. And this section was located near the end zone of the stadium's football field.
There's one...
One of the end zones.
Yeah, there's one problem with this, which is that there is no evidence other than these claims by people speaking years after the fact. In fact, the FBI, while they had initially entertained most descriptions or allegations of the fate of Jimmy Hoffa in the days and months following his disappearance, they really cooled on this theory. And when the stadium was demolished in 2010, the FBI did not even bother to show up and search the site.
Because they put him. I'm just kidding. That's not true. I'm joking.
I don't think people really get thrown from planes as often as fiction would have us believe.
Well, that's the other part of the story is he was thrown from a plane and he went straight through that concrete and just like embedded inside there.
And the FBI went, good enough.
It was wet. The concrete was still wet and he just went, thoop.
So let's get back to Sheeran. Sheeran is the source of the claims that are made in the book I Heard You Paint Houses, and The Irishman, the film, is based on the book I Heard You Paint Houses. Sheeran says that he had betrayed Jimmy Hoffa, and he says multiple times that Jimmy Hoffa was a friend of his, right? And he said he pulled the trigger because it was inevitable that someone was going to kill Hoffa. And so he felt honor bound that it should be him. And he thought also, at least I'll make it quick. He'll die instantly. So here's what he said happened. He said that he brought Hoffa to a house in northwestern Detroit. He stood behind Jimmy Hoffa. And while Jimmy Hoffa was distracted, Sheeran shot him twice in the back of the head, the double tap. And then he said they cremated Hoffa's remains in a trash incinerator in the suburbs of Detroit. Sheeran actually gave the address of the house, and we'll get to this. We gave the address of the house where the murder supposedly took place. Investigators treated it seriously. They searched the site for evidence of the killing, and they found traces of blood in the house. But later testing revealed that this blood did not belong to Hoffa, so someone probably died. Maybe Sheeran was just misremembering. This, however, was just one of several searches conducted. We'll get to a few of those after a word from our sponsor.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The countdown is on for the 2025 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds 3 days live from Green Bay, April 24th through the 26th. Watch every pick live with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. Also streaming on NFL Plus and on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes. It all starts Thursday, April 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Subscription required for NFL Plus. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sonesta Travel Pass is the most rewarding way to travel. Sign up at Sonesta.com for instant savings, bonus points, and perks like early check-in and late checkout, room upgrades, and free stays. Choose from 1,100 hotels across 13 brands and unlock their best rates when you book with Sonesta Travel Pass. Here today, roam tomorrow. Join now at Sonesta.com. That's Sonesta.com. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. Now let's get into some of the official attempts to find Jimmy Hoffa, or to recover his body, or even to locate him if he was still alive. So let's jump to 1989 to the FBI and Kenneth Walton. He's the agent in charge of the FBI's Detroit office, and he was speaking with the Detroit News in 1989, and he was talking about how he knew what had happened to Hoffa, and we have a quote from him here.
I'm comfortable I know who did it, but it's never going to be prosecuted because we would have to divulge informants' confidential sources.
Mm-hmm.
Informants, comma, confidential sources.
CIs, huh?
Yeah. Well, now let's just say I can imagine in a case like this with somebody like Jimmy Hoffa that has so many connections to probably multiple organized criminal organizations, that if you did, let's say, charge somebody that you knew or you were aware of who did it, but if by doing that it's going to compromise like two or three major, let's say, vice investigations or, you know, investigations of conspiracy, like – That would be a difficult choice to make, at least just to find the killer or to apprehend the killer of another known criminal or associated criminal.
Oh,
you know?
I see what you're saying.
So,
yeah.
Like, why would you give up on this other thing that is viable right now just to close that case? I don't know.
Yeah, because if and I don't want to put words into the mouths of the law enforcement here, but I think that's a fantastic point, because if you think that someone is already inherently corrupt and kind of a dirtbag for one reason or another, then do you feel the same moral obligation to pursue a case, especially if it means pursuing that case may preclude your ability to lock up other living criminals?
Yeah, who are out there still doing things that you find morally or, you know, legally terrible.
That's a really good point, man.
It would make sense that Walton at least believed, like truly believed he knew.
Yeah, and I would say also, to as anyone in the enforcement community listening to the show today, including our NSA intern Steve, knows full well, I imagine that the vast majority of professionals working in those fields would say, well, it doesn't matter whether I like someone who is a victim of a crime. It's my job. It's my career.
Correct. You know? But it is a cold, hard fact that somebody somewhere would have to make the decision to, you know, if there was, and this is the big if here, if there was a conflict in that way that we're speaking of here, somebody would have to make the decision to either continue searching for Hoffa and going down those leads or saying, okay, we got to leave this alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true. The search continues. In 2001, you know, we had mentioned earlier the lack of DNA evidence for testing. Now forensic DNA is a thing, forensic DNA investigation, rather. In 2001, these hair strands found in a 1975 Mercury Marquis linked Hoffa to a vehicle that authorities believed was used in this disappearance. This vehicle, this Mercury, was owned by a friend of Hoffa's named Charles Chucky O'Brien, and they were actually friends. Police and survivors, members of Hoffa's family, had always believed that O'Brien played some sort of role in the disappearance, but O'Brien, for decades, had denied being involved in any shape, form, or fashion. He said, in fact, Hoffa had never even been a passenger in his car. Now, just a tip here for all the ne'er-do-wells in the crowd today, if you want a stonewall, that's a pretty good way to do it. You know what I mean? That's like just under the level of playing so dumb that you say, I own a car?
Yeah. Okay, we found these hairs of Jimmy Hoffa's in your car. He's never even been in there.
I own a car? What's hair? What? Guys, this is a lot for me to take in.
Oh, gosh.
But this lead, this search also petered out because, you see, authorities linked Hoffa or some strands of his hair to the car, but they were not able to determine when Hoffa would have been in the car. This also could mean that since he and Chucky hang out a lot, that maybe the hair just got on some of Chucky's clothing or something.
And I think we maybe bury the lead here a little bit. Chucky was more than just a friend. He was Hoffa's adopted son.
That's right.
And the way it's portrayed in the movie, I was a little confused about it too, because there's a scene where somebody pulls a gun on Hoffa during one of his trials, or like, you know, one of his corruption trials, and Chucky kicks the crap out of the guy, and Hoffa makes a big scene by saying, that's my boy, you know, like I raised him or whatever.
You run from a knife, you charge a gun.
You charge a gun, exactly. Point being, it wasn't his blood son, it wasn't his biological son, but essentially was someone he had taken under his wing and referred to more or less as his adopted son. So my question is, surely he, if they were as close as the record indicates, he would have been in that car before.
He's never been in my car.
Yeah.
What is a car?
Yeah. You
know, I have a car.
I don't understand Charles W. Chucky O'Brien.
That's very funny.
So there were more searches. They've continued. We mentioned that 2012 search based on the testimony of Sheeran or the statements of Sheeran. Investigators did search that residence based on a tip. 2012, they didn't find anything. I think they found some blood, but it wasn't Hoffa's.
You know what I think of every time I hear the name Sheeran?
Yes.
Ed Sheeran?
No. Oh. She-Ra.
Oh.
You know, the princess of power.
It's the better version.
I'm aging myself here.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
No.
I never understood why it wasn't she-woman. Because there was this internal consistency.
There's he-man.
Yeah.
And then she-ra.
Why couldn't it be he-ra?
That'd be cool.
Huh. I was
more of a Thundercats guy. I was the superior, muscly mutant show, in my opinion.
I watched
Thundercats!
Wow, we're doing the lo-fi dubstep.
That was kind of the chill. The Hank Hill version.
I thought it was gonna be so much more intense than that. And I was kind of bracing myself, and then it was just
well, because we were reacting to your brace is what was going on.
Yeah.
We held back because you were clearly holding.
I think
back.
We both thought that you were just letting the moment build, and you were going to scream it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great.
We'll fix it in post. We don't need to fix it. It was great. Yeah, unrelated, rewatched the live action He-Man.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold up.
I liked it.
You know who plays Skeletor?
Not Dolph Lundgren, Frank, no.
Langella.
Yeah, that's it. And Frank? he's the only person who hasn't disowned the film because his kids liked it. He played a very strange Skeletor. Also, you know, some toy lines just don't have the narrative heft to hold a feature, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
They even had Man-at-Arms in there. Anyway.
What else was Frank Langella in? Oh, yeah, he's in tons of stuff.
He's in a bunch of stuff. But he was not in the Hoffa investigation.
No, which we should probably return to wrap this one up.
In June of 2013, the FBI gets another tip, and they search a field in Oakland Township, Michigan. That's about 20 miles away from where Hoffa was last seen. There was a guy involved in crime named Tony Zarelli. Not the stereotype, but this is a Tony-heavy tale. And Zarelli gave the authorities info about where he said Hoffa was buried. He also described how Hoffa died. He said, oh, yeah, he's the person who said that Hoffa was hit on the head with a shovel and buried alive. But he said this in an ebook that he was selling for profit, and nothing came of it. So either the authorities were bad at digging or Zarelli was misremembering. But at this point, no one has verified any remains. The closest they've come would be those strands of hair with Hoffa's DNA. But this also leads us to controversies. The Irishman is based on, as we said, a single book. Both Scorsese and De Niro, who plays Sheeran, describe the character of Sheeran in the film as a fictional persona based on or loosely inspired by the real guy. And furthermore, not all Hoffa experts agree with Sheeran's story. A couple of them think it's total malarkey.
Oh, yeah. The author, Dan Moldea, he wrote the book The Hoffa Wars, and he's been researching the disappearance of this gentleman for, 40 years. So he was speaking with Robert De Niro in 2014, and he basically was trying to ward off De Niro, saying that he's got all these doubts about Sheeran's story. And he was telling De Niro that Sheeran and Brandt were, essentially running a con job on De Niro, saying you should not be doing this. Like, why would you make this movie? But again, like, this is a pretty interesting story. Even if it's not true, I would say it's pretty good storytelling, and it makes me want to watch it.
Are we in spoiler territory here for the film? I feel like we've kind of danced around it, right?
We can go ahead. Let's do the spoiler countdown because it is a new film.
Right. Three, two, one. I hadn't done my homework that much before watching this. I knew it was based on a book. I did not realize that it was meant to be unequivocally like, this guy killed Jimmy Hoffa.
This is it.
And when the moment in the film where that happens, I wasn't expecting it. And then I immediately Googled Irishman fiction, you know, and I think that's sort of the consensus is that it's a little more fiction, or at least, you know, conflation of fact and fiction than it is pure nonfiction storytelling, because it, again, is based on one book, one man's account, a deathbed confession, essentially. Mm. You know, this guy did not live much longer past this interview. And that's dramatized in the film as well. The fact that he's delivering this story to the perspective camera, which is, you know, supposed to be the journalist, apparently, you know, which is, you are the stand-in for that kind of as a viewer. Excellent film. But when I saw that, I was like, whoa, okay, I guess this is sort of a hybrid thing I'm seeing here, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, for example. But if you were to believe the book, then this is how it happened.
I do want to bring something up. My father-in-law talked with me about this pretty extensively. He is also a Tony, and he told me that, without getting into too much detail, if this kind of thing was going to go down with somebody like Jimmy Hoffa, the only way you could pull it off is to get one of his closest associates or friends to do it himself.
Because he's so protected.
Uh-huh. So it would make sense for Sheeran's character to actually be the one who's able to get close enough to do it.
Because we haven't really talked about this exactly, but I mean, they're basically brothers in the film. And there's another character, the head Russell. Of the Bufalini crime family, you know, who's Russell, who's played by Joe Pesci. Wonderful performance. The three of them are kind of inseparable. They're almost like a family. But Jimmy in particular gets a really close relationship with his daughter, and that's a whole thing. But yeah, he is trusts him like a blood brother.
Well, one of the other reasons, I mean, think of the logistics if you're trying to pull off a job like this. You have somebody who not only has a protective close circle, but they also have a established schedule, calendar. People know where and when they're supposed to be at the majority of times. It's not like if you're just doing, you know, if you're just landing in a strange town and finding someone under a bridge that no one will miss for a few weeks, like this is an established thing where you have, you know, you have at most probably a few hours to get out of town, right? So it's it definitely, I think your father-in-law is on the money.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary. But yes, let's continue.
So Dan Moldea has his own theory. He believes Hoffa's disappearance was, in his mind, a New Jersey operation. He said he's interviewed all the suspected killers in his decades-long search for the truth of the matter, and he thinks it's most likely that it was a production of New Jersey operators. Paul Mission Control Deccant raised a great point off-air earlier when we were talking, and he said one thing that he found compelling was that the story, Sheeran's account, felt kind of understated. Like the way Noel depicted it, this death is, you know, there's not a lot of gravitas build up. It feels abrupt and brutal. If that is, and this is the last one, promise. If that is, Jimmy Hoffa killed himself. We didn't talk about this. We're not going to talk too much about it because there's not a ton of evidence to lean on here. But what if he committed pseudocide, which, as we all know, is the fancy pants, cravat wearing word for faking one's death? It is very, very difficult to do successfully if you want to make any money. It is not impossible to do if you want to just disappear and live by your wits.
Or if you have access to someone who makes very accurate ID of some sort.
Right. Could he have gone with the Federal Witness Protection Program? Could he have gone with the institution that is sometimes called Witless Protection? And if so, what happened to him? Well, we know that Jimmy Hoffa died for legal purposes on July 30th, 1982. He was declared legally dead. As we record today's episode, his disappearance and his likely death have yet to be confirmed. Let's do a little math. If he were alive in 2019, as we record this, he would be 106 years old. That means even if somehow he actually went off the grid, you know, changed his name to Hemi Jaffa or whatever, and lived in a small town in Saskatchewan or something, he probably already passed away. But that hasn't stopped the investigation. As a matter of fact, this is one of the things we can leave you with. The film and the book that we've mentioned today may have inspired U.S. investigators to get back on the case.
So this was December 2019. This is right now, as we're recording this, as The Irishman has come out. There's an interview with U.S. Attorney Matthew Schneider, and this guy was asked by, you know, a reporter, by someone there, what do you think about The Irishman? What are your thoughts? Well, his statement was certainly intriguing.
I will talk about this, but not now. I have a lot of thoughts about it. It's unresolved. I have my own theories. There will be more to come on this.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't mean to dismiss this whole thing as being like some sort of fantasy. Obviously, there's information in this film and in this book that is meaningful. But you can draw your conclusions. But anybody like this who's actually really close to the story, surely there's going to be some stuff that there's a ring of truth to, or that he knows unequivocally is true. And I'd be interested to hear this perspective. I think that it's the people that are still alive that I think that can really shed some light on which parts of this are real. And that's yet to be determined.
And this is also a tick-tock situation, because many of the people who would have been in their prime and directly involved have passed on. That's just how, you know, that's just how the body crumbles, right? And
yeah, it makes me wonder if a deathbed confession has already occurred. It just kind of went unnoticed because the family and the surrounding people were just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Grandpa, you're crazy.
or even, Grandpa, what are you saying? Shh. No. We don't talk about that, Grandpa.
Grandpa, it's supposed to be omerta. You know the rules. Get the pillow.
I'm just, you know.
That was dark. I apologize.
We're going to take a... Hey, Grandpa, we're going to take a quick trip over to the Giants Stadium. It's going to be fine, Grandpa. Just come with us.
The best view is from outside the plane. Oh, this is terrible.
It's that field of dreams.
Right. And that's our classic episode for this evening. We can't wait to hear your thoughts.
That's right. Let us know what you think. You can reach us to the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, X, and YouTube. On Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you want to call us, dial 1-833-STDWYTK. That's our voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you got more to say than can fit in that voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every single piece of correspondence we receive. Be aware, yet not afraid. Sometimes the void writes back. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The countdown is on for the 2025 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds 3 days live from Green Bay, April 24th through the 26th. Watch every pick live with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. Also streaming on NFL Plus and on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Deportes. It all starts Thursday, April 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Subscription required for NFL Plus. Jersey Mike's is a proud partner of the 2025 Draft. Jersey Mike's, a sub above.
ChatGPT Plus is free for college students through May. Here's the thing. You've got a lot to do between now and then. Studying for finals, writing papers, trying to keep your life on track. And ChatGPT can help with all of it. It can quiz you on your econ exam, make a study guide from your French notes, plan out your meals, and study breaks. It can get really specific on how you like to learn. It can even help you come up with ways to stop procrastinating. So from now until summer break, take advantage of all the ways ChatGPT can make your life easier. Restrictions apply.
Comcast Business helps retailers become seamlessly restocking, frictionless paying favorite shopping destinations.
Thank you for shopping.
It's how nationwide restaurants become touchscreen ordering, quick serving eateries. And how hospitals become the patient scanning, data managing, healthcare facilities that we all depend on. With leading networking and connectivity, advanced cybersecurity, and expert partnership, Comcast Business is powering the engine of modern business, powering possibilities. Restrictions apply.